It is 2:36 on the Mike McFeely Show on this Thursday afternoon on the Mighty 790 KFGO. I'm at the Fargo Dome until 5 o'clock previewing the Bison Showcase. And actually, I'll stick around after that for a while as well, and as will a bunch of KFGO personalities and others as well, just to kind of shake hands and kiss babies, or shake babies and kiss hands, or whatever the cliche is. We'll do that tonight at the Bison Showcase at the Fargo Dome. The man of the hour, or one of the men of the hours, is the, I want to say, new head football coach, but he's been on the job for 4 months already, believe it or not. We were talking about that off air. His name is Chris Kleiman, and he joins us right now on the Mike McFeely Show. Hello, Coach Kleiman. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. It's been a quick 4 months, and I can't believe we're down to really two practices left of spring ball, and then we hit the road again recruiting, so it's a never-ending process.
It kind of never stops, does it? Everybody thinks to show up on Saturday afternoon and coach football, and there's a little bit more to it than that, isn't
Wouldn't that be fun if that's all we had to do? No, it's been good. It's been busy getting to know the players on a different level, so to speak, and so I'm excited about this weekend. We've got a lot of activities coming around here, starting with Bison Showcase. We've got a big high school football clinic this weekend, and spring game, and senior banquet, and all sorts of fun stuff.
Has it been a challenge for you going from being a lifetime assistant coach to being a head coach? Because, you know, I think that everybody realized that Craig Bohl and others before him were kind of the overseers and the CEO of the Bison football program. Have you made that adjustment, or is it still kind of a work in progress to go from being an assistant to being the man and having all these other responsibilities?
Yeah, I've tried to really hold that CEO title this spring, more so in the fact of getting to know the offensive guys, because I know all the defensive players. I've been around those guys for 3 years and have a good relationship with those guys, but I wanted to make sure those offensive guys knew that I wasn't going to be the defensive coordinator / head coach. I was going to be the head coach first, and I've been around the offense a lot more this month of April, and sitting in meetings and in their huddles. It's kind of fun to go into an offensive huddle and say, and I want to say, well, that's not going to work.
But, wait a second. I can stop that all day long. What are you guys talking about?
But I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's stuff it down. I mean, so in the fall will be a little bit more of a transition for me, probably. I'm going to obviously be on the defensive side of the ball more so than the offensive side. That's just my expertise. Some of the things I'm going to give and talk to the offense about are things that hurt a defense anyway. So I'll still be the CEO, but I'll be more actively involved on defense.
And actually, I had wanted to field some questions via our text message club from listeners, and somebody did text in a question for you saying, ask Coach Kleiman if he plans to keep the defense under his watch or have a defensive coordinator. Well, you have a defensive coordinator, Matt Entz, that you brought in. But maybe just answer the question is how much will you be involved with the defense on a day-to-day basis and on a game-day basis?
Yeah, I'll be involved quite a bit. I won't call the defense. That's what I hired Matt for, and I've been around Matt an awful long time, so I've got a great deal of confidence in Matt and his leadership abilities, as well as everybody on the defensive side, but probably more involved in the game planning of what I can see and what I think will work, and things that may hurt an offense. Come game day, just like every defensive coordinator would want, and Craig was great with me, and I think I was great with Scotty Hazleton, to just let him go and then make your suggestions when you're not on the field. And it's easy to say, that wasn't a good call after it's an 8-yard gain. You know, you got to hold your comments until we get to the sideline and can make the adjustments. But I'll be actively involved in the game planning.
So when it comes to changes that you've already implemented in the program, if any, since the previous coach was here, have there been major changes that fans might notice even in the spring game on Saturday or certainly next fall when the game starts?
No, not right now. The culture of our team is so good. The culture of Bison football is so strong that I wasn't making any changes that a fan would see. Boy, this is, you know, something different. No, not at all. I think some of the things we're trying to get out in the community quite a bit more. Some of our kids have been reading a lot to elementary schools and those things. Those are things, and we did them for the last 3 years here. Just subtle things, but nothing that you'd say, boy, that's a big change. Practice-wise, we're doing a lot of the same things we've done in the past, things that I believed in even before I got here 3 years ago, and the Craig's staff, and that kind of just solidified these are the right things to do, and And it's what our kids know, too. And that's the thing that's so important is our players, it's simple terminology things. We're telling our players we're not changing the terminology. The coaches will learn our terminology, especially on defense, because it's what these kids know. And I'd screw the terminology up if these guys change it. And so we're not going to do any of those things.
And somebody sent in another text message. And I don't know if it was directed at me or at you, but I'll read it and I'll take it and you can go with it. It says, Mike, what do you think the direction of the team is going to be this year with a new coach and QB? And what I've always been telling people is that among some fans, there seems to be a belief that there's going to be this major drop-off because all of those kids graduated, and how do you live up to three straight championships? And what I've been trying to tell people is, I think NDSU is still going to be pretty darn good. I mean, you can't measure up to 15-0 and three straight championships, but the cupboard isn't bare, and you have an awful good football team coming back. So for people to think that you're also going to be 4-8 next year, that's not accurate.
Well, we've got a long ways to go. We can tell you that during spring ball, but we're missing a lot of kids that had surgery too, so I'm not quite sure how good we'll be. I think I'll know more as we get into August, but no, there's a lot of good football players still around here. Nobody would be able to say, oh, boy, they're going to be 15-0 next year. I know everybody wants to be, and we all want to be, but everybody also knows that's been here the last 3 years, that in this league, anybody can beat anybody. We lost Indiana State a couple years ago that won four games. We lost a game to Youngstown State at home. Our losses have been at home, and even some of the games, we beat Georgia Southern on a last play in a semifinal couple years ago.
That's right.
If that one wouldn't have gone well, then what would have happened? I mean, the margin of error is so small in FCS football that we've got to play our best football every Saturday, and I think as we get into, people talk about Carson and stuff. Carson's going to be a really good football player. Is he going to be Brock Jensen from all the things that Brock did on game one? Probably not. We understand that Carson's got a lot of pressure on himself. But I think over time, Carson will be a really good football player. I think a lot of our guys, we're going to have really good players, but we're going to have a lot of young guys. We're not going to replace Grant Olson with a Nick DeLuca on the first game. It's going to take some time. But I think our product will be good. I think the fans will enjoy watching Bison football because it's still going to be the same Bison football as far as hard-nosed, tough kids. We're going to be able to run the football. We're going to utilize play-action pass, and we're going to play really good defense.
Chris Kleiman, he's the coach of NDSU football. He joined us on the Mike McFeely Show. Spring game coming up Saturday. What have you seen so far in spring ball, the good, the bad, and the ugly? I mean, and you mentioned that the defense has had some guys out and held out because of injuries or whatever else. And from what I've read and talked to people who've been able to talk with you, is that the defense has shown some signs of struggling a little bit against the offense.
You bet. The good, our offense is further along than I thought we would be. Carson's doing some really good things. We've got some capable running backs, and Crockett kind of leads that group. Zach Vraz, as good a receiver as there is in the Valley. Our offensive line has come along extremely well. I'm very pleased with kids like Jack Plankers and Landon Leckler, a couple North Dakota guys, that it's their turn. So I'm really excited about some of the things we're doing offensively. The bad, we don't have a lot of depth because of our injuries. The ugly a little bit is you don't see Travis Beck, you don't see Carlton Littlejohn, you don't see Colton Hegel out there.
Yep.
And I always tell those guys on defense, just trust me, guys, when those three guys are out there, our defense is a different defense. And Polisek could say the same thing. Tyler Roll, Connor Riley, guys have been around here and said, you know, we're doing it against some really good young players, but some of these key guys that everybody knows about aren't there in the spring. And we had a quick walkthrough yesterday of some things we're going to do later on in the summer, and Hegel and Travis Beck participated, and you could see some of the new coaches going, oh, wow, those guys are pretty darn good players.
Little different situation
right.
In 2014 than it has been in 2013. So when do you start preparing for Iowa State? When does that start happening? Have you already done that, or do you wait until later on in the year? Because that's the one that the Bison fans are looking forward to already, to see what's going to happen down in Ames.
Yeah, we'll kind of do the same thing we did in our preparation with Kansas State. We'll begin looking at them early in the summer, in June. And then after our camps and a little bit of time off, you do get some time off a little bit in this business, not a bunch, but after a little time off, then we'll come back and we'll truly game plan Iowa State in the month of July before our kids report. So that way we can focus on just what we want to do with our current team the month of August until those last 10 days.
So who's going to be a couple of players who at both at the spring game and against Iowa State in those early season games, are Bison fans going to look at and say, wow, this kid's going to be something else, somebody that we don't yet know about, somebody, you know, not a Zach Vrah, you know, not even a Carson Wentz, but a King Frazier or somebody else, an impact player.
And King's a great name to mention because he got nicked up a little bit this spring and missed some time, but we think he's going to be a really special player. Opposite of John, you know, John will take a majority of those snaps early on. Nick DeLuca, a linebacker we've been really, really impressed with. You know, the guy that's played a little bit that I think has really taken his game to the next level is Brian Schatz. Schatz, he's done an unbelievable job as a defensive tackle, and he's played behind Drevlo and Lukey and Levon, all these guys for so long, and he's played 10 or 15 snaps. Well, he's going to play 35, 40, 50 snaps now, and I think he's done a tremendous job. So there's still some names out there that we're kind of hoping that come out of their shell, and I think this is another huge summer for a lot of these kids with Coach Kramer. And I know we met with Coach Kramer today, and he's chomping at the bit to get his guys back. You know, we've had them all month of April, and now he's excited because once finals get over, he gets them back for 8 weeks, and they make such great gains with Jim and his staff.
Who are going to be the teams in the Valley that is it going to be the usual suspects who that NDSU is going to have to get through to win that championship or have a shot at? Is it going to be the Northern Iowa? Is it going to be the South Dakota States?
Well, you could say all of them because they all have capabilities of beating everybody, and every year it seems like the team that's picked either first, second, or third finishes eighth. It just has happened over the last few years. I think the key is whoever can win on the road. And that's the hardest thing in the Missouri Valley is winning on the road. It's so fun to have Randy Hedberg, who was at Southern, and Matt Ince, who was at Western, get their perspective on the Valley. And that's what they say is, how does North Dakota State keep winning on the road when everybody else goes 2-2 on the road or 1-3 on the road? How do you guys keep winning on the road? Well, it's a mindset the kids have. It's what Kramer's instilled in them. It's the culture here. And that's the key to our success, is being able to be competitive and win on the road. And you don't dominate people on the road. Everybody looked at our schedule last year. We were down in almost every road game we played last year and found a way to come back and win. And that's the key to this success in the Missouri Valley.
You mentioned Hedberg, you mentioned Entz, and they came from Southern Illinois, Western Illinois. You were at Northern Iowa, came here. Are there grudges among teams and among coaches because coaches move around within the league?
Probably so, but it just shows you how competitive this league is, how good this league is, and we're all still friends. I still have great friends on Northern Iowa staff. I've got great friends that were on Northern Iowa staff that are now on Illinois State staff.
Ah.
And they were on Northern Iowa staff that are at Missouri State. Terry Allen, great example. I played for TA, and TA was the head coach at Northern Iowa. He's a Missouri State Bear, and I graduated from UNI, and I'm a North Dakota State Bison. That's what makes this league so fun for me, because everybody kind of jokes me it's like a family reunion and all these games we go to, because I either played with some of these guys or coached with them.
How's the handshake going to go with Mark Farley at Northern Iowa? He's a very competitive guy who did not get along with Craig Bohl, and Craig Bohl did not get along with Mark Farley. How's your relationship with him?
My relationship with Mark is fine. I talked to him at the Missouri Valley meetings, and I've got a great deal of respect for Coach Farley and the program that they run there. It's a top program, and we'll have our hands full, and I know they're excited for us to go to the Unidome this year. I think it'll be a great game, two great teams, and it's always going to be a physical game, and I would think both teams think they should be pretty good, and they probably both teams will be.
That's the game. You can talk all you want about the Dakota Marker and South Dakota State, and that's a fun game, but Bison fans, it's Northern Iowa, man. They do not like Northern Iowa. They don't like Coach Farley. They just don't like it. It's been a great rivalry. It's been fun to see from
because
the outside.
Of the success that both schools have had, and that's the thing that's fun. It's fun to have good rivalries in this league, and we've got a lot of them.
Coach Kleiman, thank you. Thanks for dropping by. I'll probably see you later tonight at the showcase. Okay,
sounds great. Thanks
for
having me,
Chris Kleiman, head coach at North Dakota State. He has.